Hello, 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 hello. It is I, your creative director and traffic controller here for the Wonderground Media Network, Mbabo, and I am introducing you guys to a new series of interviews that I'm doing. You may be wondering, like I said, what's kind of going on, but this is kind of a thing I've been doing for a while. You guys may have been able to check it out from a past episode that I've done on Mbabo's block, but I am bringing it to its own fruition, and I'm very excited to kick it off with the person that I have here today. So welcome to Creators in Color. Creators in Color is an interview series where I sit down with some of the most surprising and up-and-coming voices in the podcasting, media content, and nerd geek community, man. I will be having a lot of people who I consider friends on this show because I know a lot of dope people, and you guys should know them too. So we firstly have a amazing podcaster that go by the name of Mr. Botter Milligan. Botter is a podcaster for OG. Like, he's been doing it for a while. He'll get into it in his interviews. And I definitely want you guys to sit back, relax, and just enjoy the conversation between us, man. You guys get to learn a lot about Botter, his work, his influence on the podcasting community here in Jacksonville, Florida, and also things that he's getting ready to do. So yeah, again, this is Creators in Color, Mr. Botter Milligan. It really is. How they always say the new normal is so crazy.
Yeah, I guess I'm still nostalgic for the old normal, but you know what? I'm sure I'll adapt and move on.
Yeah. I know for sure, like, when everything, like, main thing I miss is movies. That's really my like, I know I need that in my life sooner or later.
And that's cool that you bring that up, because I was watching, like, this MCU documentary on Disney
Legends
Plus. Here's the thing, there's so many of them. It's like 616 Legends, but I forget the name of this one. It was like a 40-minute dedicated doc to like the history of the MCU. It might have been the history of the MCU,
probably,
but they were like recapping the whole entire MCU and like certain movies. And I think when they got to Avengers, I was like trying to think of like what it felt like watching that movie in theaters.
Yeah.
And then I felt like in that moment I was like, damn, I kind of like it. Really dawned, like, damn, I haven't been to a movie
theater in a minute.
And I just seen the little promo they cut for Spider-Man.
No
Way Home. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And it said, you know, only in theaters come Christmas.
Blows my mind.
So I'm kind of looking forward to that. Y'all kind of confident.
Yeah. All right? Like, what you know that I don't know?
Exactly.
Yeah, man. It's just like. I'm excited to get back into a theater, but I'm so impressed with what the hell everyone's doing right now.
Yeah, it's definitely fun to be watch living in this time and watching all these like traditional media pivot.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I think a lot of things becoming more consumer focused. And the ease of like access, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Cause like
it's like, well, yeah, hell yeah. Why can't I fucking access this movie the day of from my couch? Why must I go to the theater?
Movie, yeah.
You know? So it's kind of cool to see like these old like norms mm-hmm. that we kind of never like thought, like, why can't that be digital? Yeah. Kind of adapt, you know?
Hopefully that comes around to not only movies, but just a lot of like other media and things like that comes like. Because, like, you get that now with music and everything. Like, it's just a revolution that needs to be had with certain things like comics or, like, literature or something like that. Like, you need that. Like, you need that access to where, like, because I love paperback comics. I love, how would you call it? Floppies? What did you guys say?
Floppies. Yeah, floppies.
So I love reading a comic, but, like, I should be able to, like, I have the DC Infinity app,
uh-huh.
and I have Marvel Unlimited,
yep.
but there's certain comics that I still can't read.
And that, you know, that's why I ended up finally getting Comixology.
Yeah, okay.
I feel like I made the trifecta, the Holy Trinity.
Yeah, it's like your Infinity comic.
But even still, there's not everything on there. And I know what you mean, mm-hmm. where it's like, man, don't make me go through nefarious ways. You
correct.
Know, like, I want to give you my money.
I want to contribute. I want to be legal. This is no longer, what was it, Pirates Bay? Or
oh, man. PiratesBay.org.
Yeah, man.
But, yeah. Like there's, like, how everyone's really excited that Milestone
is
relaunching, and they're slowly rolling out, like, the old back issues
yeah.
for access.
Yeah.
It's like, there's no reason why that had to have been so difficult to get, you know?
Exactly.
Just reprint the stuff.
Yeah, because like
there is this, a demand, I promise you.
Yeah, because like none of the Future State stuff that I want to read is on DC Infinite. And there's literally one comic that I want to read right now. It's Marvel Voices Legacy, not on Marvel Unlimited.
Hmm. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Like, it's so crazy. But yeah, but again, like, hopefully things like that will be just a hurdle that we can get over. But yeah. Yeah. So, I think we've kind of warmed up now. You feeling good?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. All right.
Cool, cool, cool. All right, so yeah, so we're going to go ahead and get on into this. So, what is good? It's me, your friend, the neighborhood nerd, the Bobbo, and welcome back to Creators in Color. Today, I'm introducing you to another one of my dope friends, and you guys already know this is someone you need to keep your eye on because they're about to skyrocket. That's just my opinion. I don't know, man.
You're way too kind. That's a great compliment. Thank you.
Yeah, so I have my homie, my friend, the patriarch of the Short Box Nation, Bader Milligan. Bader, go ahead and tell the people a little bit about yourself, man.
Yo, damn, patriarch or the short box? I'll probably use that.
This I know. The patriarch of the short box.
The patriarch of the short box.
Oh, no. Ashley's going to be like, down with the patriarchy!
Yeah, the Baroness will get me.
Yes.
Thank you for the introduction, man. For those of you not familiar of the short box or who I am, my name is Bader Milligan. I am the host of the Short Box podcast, a comic book and pop culture podcast based out of here in Jacksonville, Florida, man. And I like to think of myself as a semi-pro talker, you know?
I feel like you're a professional, man. I think you got it. You've been doing it long enough.
Yeah. If experience, like, was the threshold,
yeah.
Then, yeah, I think I've definitely hit it, you know?
Yeah. All right. So, Bader, like I said, here in Creators of Color, I just introduced a lot of my dope friends, because you guys are amazing, and I feel like other people should know you. So we sit down, just like I said, kind of talk a little casual, whatever. Nothing too like personal. I'm not gonna ask you like what underwear you got on or nothing like that. It's just me on my little David Letterman type thing. But yeah, I just want to pick your brain a little bit and kind of get where your head is at, and also get where things are going for you. So firstly, you said that you do run a comic book and geek culture podcast, and just as in every comic book, there's an origin story. How did all of this come about? Like, how did this start? How did you get into podcasting, like all the stuff that you do so well?
Man, so really, I mean, I guess the short answer is just a lot of trial and tribulation and obsession, you know,
yeah.
A very insane sense of OCD for, you know, this passion hobby. But the... I'll kind of give you like the semi-short, long story. The Short Box came about. It was founded by myself and then my two, you know, more than best friends, like brothers. You know, Andrew Torres and Walter Gant. I knew Andrew since like I graduated high school. We were working at Target together.
Oh man!
And we bonded because our love of like comic books, you know. So we were always just we'd try to pick a shift or a job duty or something that would like just get us together so we could just nerd out about comics for the whole shift. So, you know, starting with that, we eventually managed to like land some like, you know, convince the good people at what was then Universe of Superheroes to let us like work part time for like comics, you know. Like we ended up befriending James and eventually Tim, and they needed some help around the shop, and we were like, you know, so dumbstruck and like, you know, like stars in our eyes, like, what, we get to work at a comic shop?
Yeah, man.
You don't even gotta
pay
dream.
Us. The dream.
Give us credit, you know. So it was like a win-win. But me and Drew ended up working at Universe of Superheroes, and we were just like meeting a lot of really cool people in Jax, comic book collectors, and just like having the time of our lives. And we eventually befriended one of the customers that was there. His name was Walter Gant.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was a transplant at the time from like Denver or something. He was just like, he had just moved to Jax a couple years ago. But we all bonded because we loved, we had a shared interest in comic books, hip hop, and movies. So if all three of us were at the shop, we'd be there until closing and well after.
Just chatting it up.
And granted, this was probably like 2009, 10, 11 kind of range. So we didn't really know. One, we didn't know what a podcast was until much later. I don't think the scene was very.
No.
It was a shadow of what it was. Yeah. You know, especially here in Jax, well said.
Yeah.
But around like 2011, Walt joined. Like he was in this podcast called The Side Hustle. And it was like this it was like a comedy podcast about four friends just talking about life and work here in Jax, and we loved it. Like we would tune in and you know, because Walt was on it.
Yeah.
Well, eventually, the guy who ran that podcast had offered Walt, like, hey, if you want to, I think they were thinking about trying to do a network, which, yeah, looking back, is kind of interesting because, like I said, no one knew what a podcast was.
Yeah.
Know?
So for the listeners right now, when me and Bader first started podcasting, Bader was way before me, but when we started podcasting was still that weird thing that, like, that like dudes in their basements or their attics were doing, and they were just like, oh, I'm here to rant about this and that and the third. Yes. But like, yeah, like it wasn't like cool as it is now.
Not at all. Like, not at all. So, you know, Walt got the opportunity to do his own podcast,
mm-hmm.
and he went to us, was like, yo, I got this opportunity. Y'all love the show. I think we can make one about comic books. And we started, I think, like, late 2012. We just started recording. We started batch recording, and we didn't release our first episode until, like, 2013, like, January, February, because we were waiting on, like, a website, because you, like, yeah, you needed a website,
you needed some place to host it.
Exactly.
And like, it was so
exactly.
difficult.
And
so
there wasn't a Buzzsprout or any podcast hosts. So we had to wait for this guy to like build a site and then upload our episodes. And then, you know, then we started just promoting it. And then, you know, and now here's a short version. Eventually, Walt and Drew, you know, work and life just took them away from Jax.
It happens.
So they left. And it was, you know, I just started inviting other creators I met mm-hmm. through the shop, friends, you know, that I knew would make good. And, you know, from, I think, what, 2014 till now, it's just been a rotating cast of friends. But back in 2018, 17, we landed on, you know, the cast that is the Short Box today. Myself, Cesar Cordero, Edmund Danzar, and Ashley Laney Hoy. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Andrew Torres. You know, he ended up coming back.
Yeah, he does. Later. Yeah, I'm happy he's back as well.
For sure.
But, yeah, like, it's so crazy because, like you said, the Short Box has evolved. That's the biggest thing that I can say. Like, it's evolved from where it was to kind of sort of like this. All right. So there's an ongoing joke in the Short Box that Bader's head is very big about when it comes to the Short Box like show. But like, it's evolved into a juggernaut of sorts in this area. Like, it is one of the OGs, and we all take for granted, like, okay, these are the people who are like, oh, big time or whatever. But like, we have to sit and give flowers to the people who have been out here grinding and going like week in, week out, day in, day out. Like, the Short Box has been a constant thing here in Jax for, like you said, for quite some while. Like, and I honestly discovered the Short Box when I came back from college. Came back from college, and I was like just trying to go, like, what was it? I think I was going to either the comic book shop, or it was a con or something I came to, and then I just saw like somebody talking about like this like show, and I was like, what are you guys talking about? Like, oh, you Short Box, you never heard of Short Box? I was like, no. So then they sent me a link, and I was like, okay, I like this. And then like I actually started getting to know you guys, and it's just so crazy how like we all actually became friends in real life.
I've never heard this story, so this is real cool to experience. But I'm just curious, like what year was it, like, roughly?
So this was, I came back around like 2014-ish, like 2000.
Wow.
Yeah, like when, like,
that was super early.
Yeah.
Damn, I'm sorry. I know you've had to go through some shit. Listen to us. You know, like,
I was still on and off or whatever myself or whatever, because I started my podcast around like 2014, 2015, because I literally just came back from Alabama and stuff like that, and I was kind of like trying to figure out like things to get into back in Jacksonville, and like the nerd and geek community I was kind of unfamiliar with, but like getting in, listening to you guys, like I said, just the show was like ever evolving, so like I feel like I was able to see the growth, and I was super happy about being in like a hipster started they like on the ground floor. Like, now we'll get into it a little bit later, but like when they hit their milestone, I was like, yeah. Y'all
That's
don't know
really
nothing
cool. That's real cool. Thank you.
Yeah, man, it's just like, it's dope to see people that I know like really out here like doing it, like really just being themselves genuinely. And yeah, man, like I really enjoy that. So there's one thing that the Short Box does that I love so much, and it's called Champion Season.
Last segment of the show.
And I know, like I said, it's been a thing that's kind of been developing. How did Champion Season come about? Like, what? Because
you know,
explain it to the people, and then tell them how it came about.
So Champion Season, I'm sorry, is the segment on the show. It's usually the last segment of the show. but it's essentially like our recommendation time. So we go around, you know, the room, and everyone on the mic gets a chance to like share some recommendations that they feel, man, this was really dope. I really like this. I want more people to hear about it. Check it out. So, you know, it's us sharing something that we're passionate about that we've experienced or watched or read or whatever it may be. So it's like just recommending worthwhile entertainment that mm-hmm. that's resonated with us that we want to share with our listeners. And the way it came about, man, was I will admit this. I don't think I've ever said this on a show or anything, but I sometimes regret the naming of Champion Season.
Oh, why?
Because Champion Season, it should have been like Champion Segment, you know? Uh-huh, Champion Season, you're like, a season of what? what is that? It don't make sense, but it's one of those things that we just ran with.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's integral. It's in the DNA of the show. So I love it for what it is. But if I remember right, it was much like the name of the show. It just was like something spontaneous. Like,
yeah,
It might have been, it definitely was like first or second episode, but I think maybe Walt had said like, yeah, man, it's Champion Season. Or, you know, one of us said Champion and the word season came out, and then we were like, all right, we'll run with it. I wish one of us would have been like, Champion Segment, you know, or something. But yeah, I think it's kind of representative of like, that's kind of like how we've always, you know, we always just shot from the hip, you know?
Yeah.
In the early days, it was freestyle. Just like, you know, it was just like, we didn't know how to structure a show or,
oh man,
you know, we didn't have really much to go off of. And all the podcasts that we were listening to, like, or at least I was, you know, like Fat Man on Batman, Juan Epstein, and Side Hustle, it was just a bunch of people conversing. So, you know, we weren't thinking like that. You know, now we do. Now we've got, like, structure and segments. But we still, at the heart of it, it's still a bunch of friends, you know, shooting the shit and having a good time.
Yeah, man. That's really a pivotal part about the podcast. And honestly, just podcasting in general is like, you have to be comfortable. Because a lot of people are like, oh, I'm so scared to get on a podcast. I'm like, it's just you and me talking.
Yeah.
It's really just me, you, and some mics. Nobody's either in the room or it's like whoever we bring over. Like, it's such a kind of like,
it's one of my
bonfire type thing.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite, and well said, it's one of my favorite things about podcasting. And actually, I have on my like to-do list is try to count how many interviews I've done. Because I see other hosts and podcasts like, yeah, I've done, you know, 100, 200, 500. And I've always been like, well, I wonder how many I've done. You know, I've run the show for 8 years. I've had plenty of interviews. But it's one of my favorite things about the podcast, being able to meet people and interview them. Mm-hmm. And 9 times out of 10, if it's someone new, especially in the early years where, once again, podcasting was just kind of getting big, people were still like, I'm talking in front of a mic to who?
Yeah.
But, you know, I'd have guests come through, and that was always their thing. Like, pardon me if I'm nervous, I've never done this. And it's always like, it's just a mic.
Yeah, it's just
a mic. But I love watching the transformation, you know, the first 5 minutes, they're very silent, reserved, mm-hmm. kind of like trying to be methodical about it. By the, you know, 20-minute mark, 30-minute mark, once you've really like kind of loosened them up, it's really cool to see the energy like change.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite compliments is always by the end of it, when they've had a good time and they ask, my favorite thing is, man, if you ever need another host or if you ever need someone to come on, let me know. I want to do this again. I love that compliment.
When I tell you guys, I've hit Botter up so many times in his DM, like, hey, I want to come talk about this. Or, hey, did you read this? What was it? Teenage Mutant Turtles versus Power Rangers or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I want to come talk about how dope this is. And you were like, definitely. But no, like, it's so amazing that you said, like, oh, I wonder how many interviews I've done. That's kind of the reason why I started this series, Creatives in Color, because like it's not like they keep track of my interviews, but like I've noticed that like when I interview someone, I always invite them into like the family of the, mm-hmm. of the show or whatever. But like I look back now and I see where they are, because like I don't know if you've – so his name is Ant Piper. He is the creator of Trill League, and he has like an actual show coming out through Paramount Plus. Or I think it was going to be Quibi first, but he got some things going on. 50 Cent's backed it, Paramount's backed it, or whatever. He's turned his little thing that we were like trending on the internet into an entire like Boondocks type show.
Oh, that's cool.
And like I remember when he was just literally making mixtape covers and stuff like that, and then we saw him do a Trill Robin, or we called it Trill Robin, and it started because he just wanted to see a black boy as Robin. And it spiraled or kind of like bloomed into what it is now. And I look back and I'm like, damn, I still have that interview in my hard drive when I was, he literally like, he even thanked me, like, you're the first person to sit down and interview me on a podcast. And that's, I take cool. pride in that.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and for I'm sure. like, damn, I take pride in that. So like,
you never know. Like,
you never know
who's going to be that person.
Yeah, you know, and that's why, like, I have to, I always tell people, I have to get in on the ground room floor with you guys, because, like, I can see the dopeness in you. I just want the rest of the world to see. And, like,
oh, man, that's really
good. And, like, I know that you may not be, like, having these plans for world domination, but I want your voice, like, everywhere. I want you to be like Ryan Seacrest. Like, I want you hosting every damn thing. Cause like, you're such a natural at it, dog. And like, you're just so charismatic. And it's just like, and I always say this a lot of my hosts, like, you're very captivating. Like, even if it wasn't like the crew that it was, I could just sit and listen to you, or listen to Cesar, or listen to, like, just talk about podcasts, or talk about comic books by themselves. It's just something about the chemistry that you guys all have, and how it comes together and just kind of like makes this Fantastic Four type deal, man. Like, it's just amazing. So like, I said it a little bit earlier, but you guys recently celebrated a dope milestone of 300 episodes.
Yeah, for sure.
And
it was October. I was looking back at the episode or something. I'm like, man, not only has time gone by really quick,
it seemed like forever ago, but also right there.
Yes. I think it's because it just took so much time. I put so much time into all the editing and stuff. It feels like it took a bigger part of my life, but it was just like, I think, yeah, it feels sometimes like another episode. It's like, damn, I already kept on moving.
And it feels like you're going to look back at it one day. Trust me, I know you are. Because, like, we all still, like, kind of in the Short Box Nation, still go back to it. And, like, I know I go back to it, because like, I try to listen to a number of people that I know or whatever during, like, work and stuff. But, like, I like honing in on particular episodes, and 300 was such a good one, especially even 299, going back to like just the throwbacks that you guys did.
Yeah.
It's just so dope to see again, like, the evolution of everything. And I know for sure, like, you kind of explained, like, how did it feel to make it there finally to 300, and also where do you want to go next, or what next milestone are you guys shooting for?
You know, I think that's kind of where I'm at now. I'm asking myself a lot, like, what is the next thing for Short Box? And, you know, I had a conversation with C a couple weeks ago about, like, what we're going to do next and stuff like that. I feel like we've kind of honed, you know, who we are. I think we've got, like, a solid show. I think now it's starting to think, you know, you brought out world domination, but it's starting to think, like, that next layer. If we spent all this time honing and mastering our craft here in Jax and getting this local support and love, then what's that next ring, in that next two or three rings outside of it? And it would be like, you know, getting to that national recognition and scale. Because, you know, to your point, man, and not to boast, but I feel like we have a very unique comic book podcast. I've listened to quite a few to be aware of.
Yeah,
what,
scope out.
Exactly. Like, and not like, you know, on some devious like competition, but,
but
a sense of that, but also like camaraderie. Like, who else is out here? What's their voices?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, I say this, if I come off like I'm patting myself on the back, well, you know,
that's my
brand on the Short Box, so it is.
Pat.
But I feel like we have a unique show. We have a unique voice. We approach comics in a way that is entertaining, to the diehards and the novices. Like, some of my favorite compliments throughout the years has been, yo, I checked out your show. I don't know shit about comics, but goddamn, it sounds like you guys have so much fun. I just kind of follow along.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, like, you know how it is. Like, prior to this MCU stuff, like, really being this big, you know, it was hard as hell to convince someone that, no, like, you can get into comics.
Yeah,
comics,
like,
aren't something that's, like, should be scary or you can't possibly get into.
It's like making them eat Brussels sprouts. It's like, it's such a hard sell.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
once they put that Brussels sprout in their mouth, they're like, damn, this is good.
So when we got, you know, thinking about all those compliments we've gotten, like, I don't really mess with comics, but there's something about your show that is just entertaining. You know, I think about that. Like, yeah, we should try to see if we're entertaining to, you know, the world. Let's give it a shot. So the short answer is, yeah, it's probably going to be like trying to get on that national scale. But are you asked, real quick, where we're going and then how did it feel to get to 300?
Yeah, how did it feel to get to 300?
To get to 300 was like, one, I was like, we should have been gotten here. If I was to count all the bonus episodes and all the episodes you would have been got up on, I think we would have surpassed it. But to get the 300 at the scale we were using was super rewarding, man. Like, for me, it's like, it's 300 episodes. But I had to take a step back, and I was like, yo, that's three, even not counting the bonus stuff, the live shows. That's 300 episodes. And if I was to say, you know, it – all those were released a week at a week. Then how much is that? You know, 52 weeks in a year. Uh-huh. You know, I'll let you do the math. I think it comes out close to like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
4 or 5 years of straight releases. Grinding. Like, I can't think of any other hobby or practice or a sequence of events that I am dedicated to.
And honestly, if like, because I always take it to television because my brain.
Yeah.
If you were to go into syndication, like, you could be played around the clock nonstop.
For sure.
And they would literally have so much time to fill before you even play a rerun.
For sure. Yeah. So it's, you know, and for me, you know, I got mushy with it. I was like, man, that is documented. That is documented change. Like, if I was listening to episode 10 and then 275, that's not going to be the same.
Oh, no.
That's not going to be the same show or friends. So it was like a really cool moment of appreciation of hard work. Like, for once, I was like, you know what, I'm proud of you, B. You know, like, I wasn't looking at it like, what's next? You could have done better. Like, this has got to improve. You got to seek this out. It was a moment of like, you know what? You can go ahead and pat yourself on the back, and you ain't got to feel bad about it, man. Like, 300 is impressive.
Not at all, man. Yeah, it's so dope to see things like that, like, kind of, like I said, play out in real time. And I hope you guys, again, we'll give all the shameless plugs and stuff at the end, and we'll probably even let them champion some stuff or whatever. And you guys check out Showbox. I'm not done yet. Like, just gushing on my friend over here. Like, it's just real dope, man. I truly, truly appreciate him coming out and just like sharing his amazingness with you guys. So yeah. Next thing is, you talked about camaraderie and just kind of like that community. Next two topics or so is going to be about that. So the first one, you did something that honestly has been very needed in Jacksonville. I know it wasn't just you alone, but like, again, like, you're kind of the face of it. So we have a group called Jack's Podcasters Unite, and Botter and a group of people said, I don't know who all is particularly like involved. He would probably tell us about it. So, he's brought together the Jack's podcasting community. Honestly, it's not even the full community, but it's grown so strong, and it's given a place for people who are just breaking into podcasts here in Jacksonville, or people who just kind of need a little like advice or guidance, or our veterans who just want to share a little bit of knowledge and stuff. It's given a spot for podcasters to not feel as if, creative, I have to leave Jacksonville to be better. And that is one thing that I really want to talk with you about. Like, I know why it started, but like, give us a little bit of background on Jack's Podcasters Unite, and like, tell them like what your dream was with that or so.
I'm trying to. All right, so our first one was, I believe, April 2018. Yeah, mm-hmm. April 2018.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had brought up the. Oh, you know what? I know what it is. Okay, well. So I was attending, you know, like, Maul. He does every artist.
Yeah,
lounge,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So that was like, I was going to those. And then I want to say Ryan had started doing like one from GAM.
Yeah.
For YouTubers. And like, he was doing some sort of GAM meetup.
Mm-hmm.
And it just got me thinking about like podcasts. And I started seeing more and more like pop up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, I think it'd be kind of cool to do our, you know, a podcaster meetup, to like meet other people. I ran this idea by like Ryan and Blythe Brumleaf, and they were like real supportive. They were like, yeah, like, whatever you need, let's make it happen. You know, they were real critical in helping me like get the thing going. And it was just, I wanted to see who would, a part of it is just, I wonder who would show up and what podcasts are here in town. Like, I only knew so many.
Yeah.
So when we did the event, we held it at Space 42.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, Michelle Calloway, who runs Space 42, she had her own podcast for Space 42. So it made sense. It was like, well, you're a podcaster. Like, help me see who shows up. And I think we made a Facebook event page, mm-hmm. you know, shared it like on our individual pages. And day of came, you know, I'd bought some like food and stuff from like Publix, set up tables. And I was like, I don't know if anyone's going to show up, yeah. you know? I was like, man, this is that dread, man. Yeah,
it's
dread. This is the first event I've ever organized at this scale. You know, I've thrown like smaller events and little like parties and stuff, but this was my first networking kind of thing. So I was like, man, who the hell is going to show up? But man, it was so impressive. Like, I think we had over like 30 people show up, and it really opened my eyes to like the talent in the city, the you know, like colleagues and peers. It was awesome. It was like, man. And then we ended up doing it, you know, I think another one more time in 2018, and then it became quarterly in 2019, and we were able to do one event in 2020 before the world shut down. But the Jax Podcasters Unite has. Man, I mean, without the Shorebox, I wouldn't have been able to meet, you know, my immediate circle. Then, of course, like, you know, get to know the city like that. But, yeah, the Jax Podcasters Unite group is fucking awesome.
Yeah, man.
For lack of better terms.
It really is fucking awesome. Like, it's so many people that I meet there are, like, so you guys know, like, there was a point where around, like, 2020 or so, I kind of, like, I didn't say quit, but kind of took a hiatus, an extended hiatus. It really was the Unite group that got like kind of my spark back, and like I was like watching everybody's shows come out. We would post them like every Friday or so, right? And then like they'll post their new episodes and things like that, and just seeing people posting questions and people saying, "Hey, I need some advice for this." And like, okay, like there's still people out here doing it, and like it kind of kept me in that mode of like, all right, I'm gonna get back to creating, but at least I have a space. For say like, okay, if I ever feel like a question needs to be asked, something like that, like it gives you a home for somewhere, and that's really all that I really love about that group. So another question about the community or so is your Patreon. You guys are a great example of what a Patreon can do for not only just the show but the community of the show, because we may all live different places, but the Shortbox Nation is very connected, and they know what's going on with the show, and they know what we are going to be getting. Like, so you give us great bonus content, so tell us your thoughts on the Patreon, and like I said, how you feel that the community has also evolved with the show.
Oh man, so the Patreon was I think we launched it 2019, 2018, one of them. It hasn't been that long.
Yeah.
It was probably like 2019. But we did it because, you know, by 2019, you know, we were like 6-7, you know, years in the podcast game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just getting, you know, more expensive to like run the show, more time. You know, we had to spend a lot more time because we were growing. We were like getting better. We just needed better equipment and stuff. And I was getting a lot of people that was like, yo, man, I want to support you guys. You don't produce enough merch, like, you know, regularly.
Yeah.
Like, how can I go about supporting you? And I had gotten those questions a lot throughout, you know, the years of podcasting up to that point. And, you know, we started learning about, like, ways to try to monetize and stuff like that. And Patreon was a suggestion that I had, you know, read about and overheard. And we just kind of gave it a shot. I was, like, real hesitant. Like, I should have launched it much sooner. Like, it was on my to-do list for a long time, but I was kind of in my head about it, you know. Like, who am I to ask for money from people who do me the honor of listening,
yeah,
you know?
You're,
it's like,
wow,
exactly, like, wow, you tune in every week to hear me ramble on about like comic books and other, you know, silly shit. Like, thank you, that's payment enough. But eventually, you know, I just had to pull the trigger. So I, you know, launched the Patreon. I think we did like really light promo. We try not to like, you know, come off like we're begging, but
they don't shove it in your face.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, yo, you still get plenty of free content, but you know, we were recording more, so we had like plenty of bonus stuff, and it was kind of hard to fit it into you know, the weekly format that we had going on. So it was kind of like a good idea. I was like, well, we got all this bonus stuff that we can offer. Let's see who's willing to pay for more Shortbox stuff. You know, we're not going to change anything that we've been doing except for add on. Yeah. And the initial response was like fantastic. It was like, yo, a bunch of people signed up in that first run that were like proud. Like, finally, you know, like mm-hmm. finally I can give you something, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that was like really heartwarming stuff. And then, you know, we just kind of like just experimented. I think with our Patreon, we just were trying a bunch of stuff. It was like, you know, sometimes it's just random kind of unfiltered conversations. Sometimes just like, I'll be honest, sometimes we were just blabbering on the mic just because we had like some things we wanted to get off our chest. And then we tried like video stuff. Patreon allowed us to try different stuff while still maintaining the status quo of what we had, you know, built up.
Yeah, it's like DC Mainline and DC Dark Label.
That's really well said. That's a great comparison. But, you know, we definitely don't do it for the money. I'll tell you that much. Mm-hmm. You know, we all work full-time jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
But we, you know, all dedicate time to make the short box what it is. So the money has never been a big factor in what we do. But I will say it is rewarding. There is a sense of reward to be able to, you know, cover the cost of hosting fees, you mm-hmm. know, to cover the cost of equipment, you know, purchasing it, maintaining it, upgrading it, you know, and other costs that come with it. And not just cost, but like time. It takes
a
good bit
of time.
You know, that's time away from, you know, our loved ones, from like work, from just being able to relax on weekends, you know. Mm-hmm. So there was a sense of like rewarding and, you know, motivation. It was like extra motivation. Like, you know what? Now, like, there's a sense of hunger with it. Like, you know, how many more people can we get to, like, support us and back us? How big can we grow if we get enough people to believe in us and want to support us, with their dollars, you know?
Yeah.
So I think the Patreon was needed to help kind of shape, give us a chance to experiment, but it sharpened us.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it. Like, it really honed in, because when you do have that time and that effort being put into it, it's so lovely seeing the appreciation given back. Because I always tell, like I said, my patrons, like, you guys really, really motivate me. Like, I do all this, like, bonus content, or at least I try to give you guys an extra show or whatever. But, like, it's so dope to just know that there's somebody out here listening, or somebody who really wants to see more. And yeah, that's a big thing.
Yeah. And I was telling someone, another podcaster this the other day, was, you know, like, the extra dollar or two someone gives mm-hmm. me a month is not a make or break it.
No,
you know?
No, no.
Like, honestly, all of our stuff goes right back into the show.
Mm-hmm.
The more rewarding and the more rewarding thing is that sense of, like, all right, this is the money is nice, but the motivation behind it, you know, the sentiment behind it is,
that's truly,
I want to see you continue to do this more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yo, someone's out there like, man, yo, keep on.
Yeah, man, that is dope. To, again, like I said, if you guys, we'll give you all the information at the end of the podcast. Got one more question for them, and then, like I said, we'll get into like champion stuff and shameless plugs. So, the main thing that I love about the short box is you guys have a steady heartbeat of hip hop and just like love for music in general. I know, like I said, it's been like you, Cesar, Ed, and Ashley, or so, and I know it was like before it was Will and Walt. So, like, how pivotal is like the music of the short box, because again, like, you guys put so much into the production, or so like how tell me a little bit more about the passion behind the music of the short box than anything else.
I think your the word you use is perfect. It is definitely the heartbeat, you know. It gives us a sense of like attitude, you know. It gives us like a beat, you know. It gives us I've had a lot of compliments in them early years just about the music. Like,
yeah,
the music is fire. Well, did you listen to it? Yeah, I'd skip that.
But the interview. Nah.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, there's a reason why we've got that. Other than it just making sense. But there's a reason I put that music in the front. You know, that I always, anytime that we do a there's a big reason why every 50 episodes we call it a season.
Yeah,
and we switch it up. Because, yo, the music is important. Like, we want that to feel updated. And, you know, when we get, like, a new one, it feels like a different page.
Oh, yeah. The short box. It really does.
But it was – we incorporated music, one, because the Side Hustle, which we really base our podcast off of Heavy, mm-hmm. they used to do a music break in the middle, and they would play local bands.
Yeah.
You know, they would just have some, like, local demo or something or a song, and they'd play it. And since we were all like hip hop heads, me, Walt, and Drew, I was like, well, this was around the time that I had met my good friend Greg Parrish, and he was producing as well. So mm-hmm. it was like around the time I had met him, and then we started the podcast. My little brother David started producing music.
Yeah.
And who happened to be like the two people who still to this day produce music for the show. All the music on the show is by them. But it was like a way for me to include them on this thing that we had going on. You know, I was like, well, if we're going to include music like the side hustle, well, I've got some people that we can use music. Let's contribute. Let's like keep this thing organic and grassroots. Because we could have easily played, you know, the music that we were listening to at the time. And we wanted to. I really wanted to like be playing like Currency or some other shit. But it just made sense to be like, you know what? Let's keep it all like in our circle.
Yeah. And that's a big thing to do. Because like I said, it is important to bring the people that are with you on the journey. Mm-hmm. And that's a big thing that we've all like kind of strived for in this community as a whole. Like if there's something that I know you can do or so, or something you can contribute, I'm going to put your name up first.
For sure.
And that is definitely something I do appreciate about, like I said, Shortbox and like all the Jax podcasts in general. So yeah, want to go ahead and thank Mr. Milligan for sitting and chilling with us here in COC.
Yeah, let's go ahead and all of mine.
Yeah, man. Let's go ahead and tell the people where they can find you. Like I said, give the shameless plugs for the show, or if you want to do your personal stuff, or whatever.
Yeah, for sure. Look, if you are a fan of comic book topics, comic culture, or just pop culture in general, and you enjoy like that very genuine conversational tone that you probably have with your own friends, you should be checking out the Shortbox podcast. It's available wherever you get, you know, it's on your favorite podcast app, if not everywhere else. Just search the Shortbox. And if you want to follow us on social media, just search the Shortbox Jax, J-A-X.
Yeah, man. They, like I said, go ahead and give them a listen. Go ahead and give them a follow. They are amazing. And next thing you'll be able to hear more about her. So let's go ahead and champion some stuff, because I want to see what's on your mind, what you're feeling right now. So what do you have to bring for this halftime champion season?
You know, I could probably just do a very generic umbrella and just say Disney Plus, but I will say some of the key Marvel things on Disney Plus, like the 616 series, is fantastic. You know, there's an episode about Marvel Legend figures.
Yeah.
Which is super dangerous if you're a fan of action figures and toy collecting.
Yes.
Because by the time that episode got done, I had like a few figures in my cart. Like, oh, I need all these action figures. But the Marvel 616 series is really cool because every episode is different. There's a different topic they cover. Mm-hmm. The Marvel Legends one was really good. There's an episode of like Paul Scheer where he's like trying to find the most obscure Marvel comic there is. Another show on Disney Plus would be the MCU documentary that I was telling you about, which I believe is just titled The History of the MCU. Okay. But that one was really cool to watch because, you know, with WandaVision, it's got me kind of like nostalgic for some of these older movies.
Yeah, it really did. Because like, you have to remember, like you said, it was 2008 when this started. That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
And the way that the things have like kind of progressed.
They spent a lot of time talking about that first Iron Man movie. And it's wild to see like pictures of Kevin Feige, Robert Downey Jr. And I always forget that John Favreau.
Yeah, Favreau.
Like,
yes.
On set working, and they look so young, and it's like,
right?
But there's a sense of like you could, with these old clips, like, man, they are documenting lightning in a bottle right now.
And
like,
they have no
idea where this is going to lead. Like, that was a really good watch. So I'll probably recommend any of those Marvel documentaries on Disney Plus. They're worth a watch. There's one on Jack Kirby and Stan Lee that I'm going to watch next. It's like 40 minutes.
Okay, yeah, man. I definitely definitely will be able to check a lot of that out. So yeah, I know for sure you guys may have any questions or anything for me. So go ahead and hit me up in the email at wonderground@gmail.com. That's wonderpod@gmail.com. And if you have any follow-up questions for Botter, I'll definitely get them over to him. Maybe you may answer them on the short box.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, man. So we're going to go ahead and get up out of here. I do want to thank you guys for joining me for another Creators in Color. I have been your friend, the neighbor, and nerd, the Pabo, and I shall bid you adieu until next time.